informative and engaging. Rick Munn. Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, hell's bells. Okay, it's Wednesday, the 10th of April, 2024. I'm just gonna give you, a little warning. Got a little bit of wind here this morning. I'm hoping it doesn't manifest itself while I'm talking. So luckily for you people, it's coming out this way, not the other way. So yeah, if you hear any funny noises, it's my throat or my diaphragm playing up on me. I'm just milking this for all it's worth here this morning. You know, far be it from me to be dramatic. You'd swear I was on my way out here this morning, but all is good here in the TNT hood. So what's coming up this hour? Our number two of Locked and Loaded this morning. Well, of course, Gemma Cooper is going to be joining me in a minute or two to talk about today's breaking news here in the UK and Ireland. Melissa Shumay will be joining me also at around about 20 past. She is a financial investor speaking out against globalist and corporate policies that aim to control every aspect of our lives. She's a good speaker. She knows what time it is. And also Sarah Plumley, absolute legend, will be joining me. She's currently in France at the moment, but she runs a school of guerrilla education. That's G-U-E-R-R-I-L-A rather than guerrilla, G-U-R-I-L-L-A education. She's an absolute dynamo. Going to be looking at the education system this morning also. So that's all still to come. Leave us your thoughts, comments, and opinions in our live chat, tntradio.live. I have been dipping in and out of them. Very interesting, actually, that first guest that I had on Joanna, a lot of people identified with what she was talking about with distress and abuse and emotional abuse suffered at boarding schools. At least three people in the live chat testified of the same thing. And of course, she mentioned a Facebook page, Boarding School Action. If you use Facebook, you can get on there and check that out if that resonated with you in any way, shape, or form this morning. So what's happening on the news front? Well, teaching unions in Northern Ireland have accepted a pay offer. That's good news, isn't it? The agreement will see the starting salary for teachers increase to 30 grand a year and pay scales increasing by 10.4% plus £1,000. So that's not a bad little package coming out there for the Northern Ireland teachers here. So teaching unions of Northern Ireland have accepted this. The council includes the five largest teaching unions and management side formally ratified the pay agreement for 2021 to 2023 yesterday, which was Tuesday. So the agreement will see the starting salary for a teacher increase to 30 grand and pay scales increase by 10.4% plus £1,000. So the chairman of the Irish National Teachers Organization, also known as INTO, Northern Committee, said the offer's not perfect. Of course, it's not perfect. They're always looking for more, these unions, but represents a significant uplift in pay for all teachers and school leaders. So that's not a bad little starting package for the teachers, especially in Northern Ireland, 30 grand a year. I think the average UK salary is about £32,000 a year. That's for everywhere, including London and everywhere, Northern Ireland, Scotland, all over the place. So Not a bad starting salary for the teachers, plus increments they're getting there as well. But of course, the unions have said that it's not perfect, and that's not a job I would do for any amount of money. The thought of going to class, stuck in a classroom for 8 hours a day with a group of teenagers, I wouldn't do that. I seriously wouldn't do that for £250,000 a year. I wouldn't do that. I couldn't. Not because it's my problem, by the way. I have a lot of issues. You people might have already realized this, but trust me, Rick has a lot of issues. And being in a room with people is tough. Being in a room with kids for 8 hours a day, I can't imagine it. Just hell on earth. But that's my problem. Let me deal with that one. Let me work my way through that one. I'm just testifying here. I couldn't do it for love nor money. So fair play, if you're a teacher and that's what you want to do, get out there and change the world. But sadly, a lot of teachers that I know that have went into the profession very doe-eyed, thinking they're going to make a massive difference, they've soon had that kicked clean out of them with protocols and red tape and diversity training and this, that, and the other. So maybe there's a teacher listening to me this morning. maybe you're thinking, Rick, you're talking out of your backside. I love it. I love it so much. I just jump out of bed in the morning and sprint into that classroom just full of beans and enthusiasm and passion. After years and years, I'm still on fire at the thought of educating children. Well, if that's the case, leave me a message and tell me where I have got it so wrong. I would be very interested to find out about that. Lastly, the hate speech bill. This is a guy, by the way, this is an Irish politician called Willie O'Day. That's a very Irish name, if ever there was one. Willie O'Day from Fianna Fáil said, the hate speech bill was rushed through the Dáil. I didn't pay it sufficient attention, but when I did read it, I was absolutely horrified. Here we have the problem, okay? They vote for stuff. It's a disaster. And this guy's saying, well, you know, I voted for it. I didn't really pay it any attention at all. But now, with the benefit of hindsight, having read it afterwards, I think it's absolutely horrific. What an absolute shambles. You know, people are applauding this guy for coming out and saying this, but he's just made himself out to be a complete fool. Why on earth would you ever want to keep someone in situ that doesn't even read a paper before they vote for it, which has such massive implications for the people of Ireland? So that's Fianna Fáil TD Willie O'Day. And I'm looking at a little video clip of him. Oh, the archetypical Irish leprechaun. If you give him a little green suit and set him on a little pot of gold, he would remind me of a little leprechaun. But then again, Who am I to talk? We've got to take a brief pause now and bring Gemma back into the fray again. So stay tuned for more here on TNT, Today's News Talk.
Talk that matters.
For once, we just need to do what's best for this damn country and not what's best for the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Gemma, what is it with these... I mean, we've talked before about leaders or their lack of leadership ability, and they're weak. And they're easily, you know, they blow to the left, they blow to the right, they blow up and down. This guy, Willie O'Day, I didn't read it, you know, but when I did read it after the act, I was absolutely horrified by it. Is this not part of the problem we're facing? This guy's actually admitting he was completely blasé and complacent when it came to voting on something that has a huge impact on Irish people. And now the horse is bolted. He wants to try and close the stable gate. It doesn't really work like that, does it?
No, a cautionary tale, but at least, you know, someone's been big enough to admit their mistake, you know, but that's the problem with society. We're so well programmed into letting so-called authority figures do our thinking for us, do our decision-making for us. Thankfully, it's changed massively since 2020, but that's how we're programmed like that. I don't think we should be too hard on ourselves. It's not our natural way. We're naturally designed to be self-governing, but from the age of what, 4 or 5, the minute you go into the education system, and it is a system, you're programmed to give your authority away to the person standing in front of the class and not trust your own intuition. So it's beaten out of us psychologically at a very young age not to trust our own judgment. So you know, don't be too, is it his name Willie, isn't it? Don't be too hard on yourself,
Willie O'Day.
Willie O'Day, it happens to the best of us. It's happened to the best of us. It's you know, it's something that we're trained to do, give our power away. Luckily, many people now claiming our power back. But I have to say, Rick, listening to you do your editorial there at the top of this hour, I had to, good job I was on mute, because I had to stop myself. Well, I was laughing out loud at your description of yourself. You know, I can't be in a room of people. Just,
it's, to me,
at least you admit
horrible.
It as well.
Some old philosopher, I don't know who it was, some miserable git, said people equals hell. And I, you know, I shouldn't say that, but I find it hard to disguise it. I just like a little bit of solitude, Gemma. I select some lucky people to be around. You know, it's their good fortune to be around me. That's the way I look at it. And they're few and far between. I'm not a great people person, although I like talking to people at a distance. I like to do it. Speaking of loony leaders as well, this is just another, I couldn't believe my ears when I heard this. This was a woman, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, in America yesterday, a Democrat. She was talking about, this was after the eclipse had happened. She got up on a podium, and this is what she said. She said, the moon is made up mostly of gas, so we can soon live inside it. That's what she said. She said, the moon is mostly gas, and soon we're going to be living inside it, unlike the sun, which is almost too hot to go near. This woman is an absolute lethal weapon. So she thinks the moon's made of gas and soon we're going to live inside it, not on top of it, but inside it. And the sun is almost too hot to approach. Can you believe it? Would you fancy your chances approaching the sun? Is it almost too hot for you to go near? Or do you think you'd be burnt to a crisp?
Oh, surely those comments were taken out of context. No. They must have been taken. Really?
I've seen the video, Ed. And then it was during the eclipse. They gave her a pair of those flimsy, you know, 3D type glasses to stop her eyeballs burning up whenever she was looking up at the sun. What is it with people looking up at the sun? You're always told don't do it. She couldn't even put those little glasses on, those little paper glasses. She couldn't even put them on her head. I kid you not. So her name is Congresswoman Sheila. I'll send you this video clip afterwards just for your amusement. The stuff she comes out with was creasing me up yesterday. And the people didn't know what to do. They were surrounding her going, did she just say what she just said? But that's another example of someone that's elected in a senior position, a congresswoman who thinks the moon's made of gas. We're going to live inside it and the sun's almost too hot to approach. This is who's running or helping to run America into the ground.
There are a lot of theories about the moon, though. I would have to say that, and I would wager there are people in the chat or listening
Don't
or watching.
Start that.
But there are a lot of theories about the moon. Can they be discounted? I haven't put the work in doing my research on the moon, but there are theories about the moon. That's all I'll say. I don't want to get into anything conspiratorial. Michael, go mad.
I only have two words. Stanley Kubrick. Stanley Kubrick. Okay. So if you want to know about the moon, you should have spoke to Stanley Kubrick before he mysteriously died. An odd one. And that is the biggest can of worms you could ever open here, especially in our, we used to have a guy in our live chat. Okay, this is a little bit of TNT history for you. And his name was Flat Earth Weed. That was his name. And all he did is come on all day trying to convince us all that the Earth was flat and the moon was made of cheese and all this, that, and the other. It was unbelievable. And he kept getting banned and he kept coming back every day with new accounts for so long, Gemma. He was so persistent. And his nickname was F-E-W, Few Flat Earth Weed. So, yeah, the moon, let's just agree, it's made of cheese and we're not going there. We're not going there anytime soon. So moving swiftly on, breaking news headlines. What else is on the table this morning? Anything else to add from earlier on?
Well, the biggest story is still the CAS report, which we talked about at length at the top of the last hour, the 388 page report into the treatment of children in the NHS who are questioning their gender identity. So much to that report. Let's see how long it takes to filter down into NHS treatment protocols. Today, Rishi Sunak has said he's welcomed the findings. Well, do something about it then, Rishi, I think. Is this the logical conclusion to that before the election? Another big story is the European Court of Human Rights. I think it's worth a mention because there are calls today to take Britain out of it. First of all, it was because of the Rwanda immigration bill. Rishi Sunak said he would leave the European Court of Human Rights if we couldn't get a resolution on that. Today, there's a Tory rebellion against the European Court of Human Rights' position on climate change. The court has said that every single government in the world has a moral duty to protect all its citizens from climate change. The Energy Secretary and many others in the Conservative Party of today said that that's not the court's jurisdiction. It should be up to each individual government of a nation to decide the policies on climate change, inverted commas, and if necessary, they would leave the Court of Human Rights. And that follows a poll, actually, that was done by a certain section of British society who also say we should leave the European Court of Human Rights. So I think that one's going to be coming back onto the political and an editorial agenda sometime soon. Also, millions of adults still struggling today, they're saying, nearly 8 million people to pay bills due to the high cost of living. And the post office inquiry is ongoing. Alan Bates took the stand yesterday to give his evidence. He described the post office bosses in the Horizon IT scandal, dubbed the worst miscarriage in British justice. He described the post office bosses as thugs in suits. Today, evidence given by a senior Tory peer has said that the Labour government at the time, when concerns were raised with them about the Horizon IT software scandal, they dismissed the concerns and said it was a matter for the post office only. Liberal Democrat leader yesterday also came under concerns as he was the minister for the post office when this was all going on. Concerns were raised with him by Alan Bates And it was emerging in the inquiry yesterday that he dismissed those concerns and said they weren't worth further inquiry. So the whole thing is unraveling for the post office, which many will argue is good. Level of public interest in the post office inquiry now it's resumed is at an all-time high, thanks to the post office drama on television a few months ago, Mr. Bates versus the post office.
And also, of course, thanks to people like ourselves who made a point of focusing in on this whenever this story broke. And of course, people have been talking about it for years here in TNT, but we tried to get a lot of guests on here who had suffered as a result of this and also shine a light on this. And we will continue to do so, because that's one scandal that definitely is not going to just simply dry up and blow away, Gemma. So massive thanks to you this morning, as always, for all your input with the breaking news. We'll talk again tomorrow morning, and going to take a brief pause. When we come back at the other end, we have another guest lined up for you lovely people to listen to here on TNT, today's news talk.
TNT's Mark Morano.
According to a top UN climate advisor in Time Magazine's 2023 Woman of the Year, has now declared that the climate crisis is not just man-made. You all knew that we were, our SUVs were causing a crisis. It's white man-made.
The climate crisis is man-made. And it's not just man-made, it's white man-made.
Now you have it. If you want to stop the climate crisis, the climate emergency, we start by protecting Black trans women, children, Indigenous people, and whoever else is the favorite identity politics group of the day.
Mark Morano on today's News Talk TNT. Plug in.
Website.
TNTradio.live.
Check it out.
Today's News Talk Radio.
It's the coolest.
TNT.
Yes, indeed, we are locked, we're loaded, and we are live here this morning on TNT Radio. We actually do have our next guest connected and all. She's up there on the screen, but she's otherwise engaged right now. I'm just hoping and praying that she'll glance down and connect in with the audio and link in with us, none other than Melissa Chimay. But just in the meantime, while we're waiting for her to connect, what else has been happening here on the news front here in Ireland? Patrice Johnson from the Irish Freedom Party is talking about calling for a referendum on immigration. So she said it's on a matter of profound political, social, or demographic change. The Irish people should have the final say. So that's not something unreasonable to ask for. Of course, there were two referenda that were put out 3 weeks ago where the government was crushed. The removal of the word woman from the Irish constitution, that was crushed, and also durable relationships or durable families as well. The government were destroyed on those two referenda. So now I'm very happy to report that we are joined visually and audio-wise by Melissa Chimay. She is a financial investor who speaks out against globalist and corporatist policies that aim to control our lives. Melissa, welcome to TNT's Locked and Loaded. How are you doing this fine Wednesday morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure. And I was bigging you up a little bit earlier on in the show. You've been talking out a lot over the last couple of years, Melissa, especially when it comes to, looking at what's been going on in Ireland in particular, some of the control mechanisms that were inflicted upon us over the last 3 or 4 years. You also deal with investments, looking at gold, looking at fiat currency, collapse of the US dollar, imminently debt levels are racking up at the minute. It's hard to know where to start this morning. Anywhere else in particular you want to kick off, or do you want to let me throw the ball at you?
Well, first of all, it's identifying what the problem is. And the problem is that there's too much, on a global level, there's too much debt and not enough growth. And that there was a global contraction in the economy in 2019. And when you couple that with a demographic issue where there isn't enough producers, and we have an aging population that are about to cash out on their pensions, which don't exist because it is a Ponzi scheme. Then we have the failing of globalization, which has caused a fracturing within the West and the BRICS nations, which is leading to a currency reset, which is a more fair system for them, and then and also a more fair system for the developing countries who want a piece of the pie of this energy to create their economies. That's what the problems are here. And the proposed solutions from Labour are just more state control, Securenomics, they're calling it. It's just Bidenomics repackaged, with the idea that was promoted during the lockdown, that if you people seem to be more interested in security and safety, but the cost of that is losing your freedoms. And that's where we're increasingly moving towards if we don't, well, you get the government you deserve.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. And what's happening at the minute too, I mean, we're seeing it in the UK and Ireland, we're seeing it in Australia at the minute. There's a real push on for digital IDs, and that's something that I know you've talked about a lot over the last few years. It seems to be crystallizing right now, especially in Australia. There's a big move towards implementing a digital ID within Australia, talking about doing away with all types of cash transactions altogether. Mm-hmm. A lot of banks have pulled out with that. ATM machines are closing down hand over fist there. And of course, in the UK as well, they've been, you know, messing around with this push towards digital IDs now for a few years. If they get it in, they need to get that in before they'll bring in the like of CBDCs or central bank digital currencies. And then if that happens, God forbid, well, then at that point, you really are at the mercy of whatever government that you're currently sitting under, because they'll pretty much control all your transactions.
Yeah, we have seen that move. Well, Australia is very much a test bed, but in the UK, it could be brought in. There is, if you read the 2018 Identity in the Digital World, it actually tells you how they're going to bring in digital ID. And chaos is the best case scenario to bring it in. We've seen that with the DIA app in Ukraine. Within 2 years, 65% of the eligible population was using it. In the UK, I would be pay particular attention to either healthcare or the Online Harms Bill. And there is a real push for knife crime. And while they have changed the laws for buying knives, it's that they can buy the knives online. And initially, it's going to be that the Royal Mail will have to do checks, you know, identity checks, but it'll be a move towards a digital ID to access the internet. I think that that's what people need to be increasingly aware of, that we're going to move towards that. And that is, for me, the last gate I keep on saying it to rebel at. Because it's a very short step. When they have that level of surveillance and control, they just link it to the source of their power. They have the monopoly on money, and it's totalitarian control over everybody. And we are moving towards this at breakneck speed, because we are in a currency collapse right now. It's not a matter of when, we are actually in it. It's not something that happens overnight. We are in it, and it's going to be ongoing.
Obviously, it's not a case of if that happens, it's a case of when that happens. People are going to say, well, what do we do then? Or what will be the currency? What will we use as, you know, to be able to trade? Now, something that you've highlighted a lot is to do with gold. So there was a post you put up yesterday on your Twitter or your X feed. They lie about inflation, which is the rate of theft, as you would rightly call it, but gold does not. So we're seeing gold spiking up a lot in value at the minute. Also, in a world where both BRICS and gold are bullish, the US dollar is at risk. So you have the precious metal type route on one side. At the same side, you have it's not the emergence, because this has been around for a long time, of cyber or cryptocurrencies, in particular Bitcoin, which is the flagship for that. It's doing extremely well at the minute. And I don't know, a lot of people are very hardcore on cryptocurrencies. A lot of people are very hardcore on gold. Some people straddle the fence and, you know, they believe in a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I think what we'll do is we'll delve into that one in a little bit more detail, get your thoughts and opinions on that. We've got to take a little headline break now just for 30 seconds. But when we come back, where do you sit with regards to this in terms of, are you a Bitcoin skeptic? Are you a Bitcoin advocate? Are you somebody that believes in having it as part of a balanced portfolio, or avoid it like the plague? So we'll do that when we come back in 30 seconds time here on TNT, today's news talk.
TNT Radio News.
I have some exciting news.
This is Jason Olborn with your news headlines. The Turkish government has imposed export restrictions on Israel, covering 54 product categories in response to the Gaza war. More than 100 people have died on a capsized ferry escaping a cholera outbreak off Mozambique. A CIA and former FBI official has admitted in an undercover recording that the FBI can jail anyone. Gold and silver prices continue to enthrall investors, with gold breaking another peak at US$2,356.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, I threw it to you just before the break. Bitcoin, gold, fiat currencies collapsing. What do we do? Where do we go? Where do you stand on all this?
Well, if you look at who's actually buying up gold, it is central banks are prolifically buying up gold. The BRICS, for me, I it would be my guess that they will probably not back by gold, but will tether a new currency to gold to give it stability. So that's why I would be an advocate of gold. It just protects your purchasing power. That's the real function of it. It's a hedge against inflation. With cryptocurrency, yes, there's a lot of people making a lot of money from cryptocurrency. If you are going to delve into it, it's a risk. It may as well be taking you to a casino. I believe the blockchain will remain. Will Bitcoin? I don't know. Bitcoin came out in 2009 after the 2008 collapse. They have got all these really intelligent people on to solve and evolve blockchain issues so they can blockchain absolutely everything. This is what the Bank of International Settlements, the IMF, central banks in general want to do. They want to have all your assets on a digital wallet, and they need the technology to be evolved sufficiently to do this. So that's why personally I don't have very much crypto. I've had a little bit and I've done okay with it. But I have. If you're going to put money into it, pull your principal, and then the rest is gravy. But I think that it was more that they needed to advance this technology.
Just for the benefit of anybody out there that's not maybe au fait with investment terms, when you say pull the principal and the rest is gravy, that basically means that if you've invested 100 quid into crypto, you've made £100 on it, take the original investment out, which is your 100 quid, and then you've got a free ride on the remainder or the profit that you've made on that. And if it goes to zero, you've still got your capital protected. So effectively, you're not really taking a risk per se with the original capital, but obviously the profit can go up and down. I think that's a sensible strategy, and I don't think anybody would have any problem with doing that.
Yeah, I'm more interested in safety right now, because we are in an everything bubble. We've had bubbles before, but this is an absolute everything bubble, which for as long as you can't have a drought if it keeps on raining. So as long as they keep on pumping money into the economy, it's going to inflate. But people really need to stop looking in terms of numbers on a screen and look at value, because whereas an ounce of gold, I bought, say, an ounce of gold in 2020 at £1,500. That's now worth about £1,900. That means that it doesn't mean that I've made £400. It means that I've maintained my purchasing power, because what would cost £1,900 to buy now only cost you £1,500. So, but with the addition of what's happening with the BRICS, there could be a revaluation of gold. So that's why. But everybody should have a little bit, and you should be as diverse as possible. Because we really don't know, we can't anticipate what's going to happen. The reset will happen. There's no doubt about that. It's just about, do we take control of it, or do we hand it over to a collection of billionaires and techno-feudalisms?
Yeah, I think as well, I am super cautious when I see people that are almost evangelical when it comes to Bitcoin. It's like, this is going to solve all our problems. Bitcoin to the moon, hold on for dear life. Listen, I have no problem with people being passionate about an investment class, but what I do become super cautious about is when that's all they bang on about, and they're throwing it out that if you don't do this, you're foolish, you're stupid, if you don't go all in on it because it's going to solve all your problems. I believe you have to be very, very wary. And there are a lot of people at the minute, especially if you're checking out social media, which in this day and age is where everybody's on, getting all their advice from, all these advisors coming in hand over fist. They're getting almost cultish followings. And, you know, people, you know, hashtagging this Bitcoin and the little symbol. It's all fine and well as part, if you want to dabble in it, as Melissa said, do it as part of a balanced portfolio. But please don't put all your eggs in the Bitcoin or the crypto basket, I would say, because If somebody drops that, you're going to have a mighty big omelet on your hands there, and it ain't going to be pretty.
Well, that's it. People are being orange-pilled. And while they have started to close the on-ramp, so there's with Santander, you couldn't put as much into the exchanges. They haven't closed the off-ramps yet because Bitcoin, crypto in general, was a great way of pulling money out of the account. People were sitting at home, they had a load of money, they could put it onto these numbers on a screen. So it was beneficial in that respect. And crypto got the money that gold should have got. Meanwhile, they got to buy off all the gold that was left. So what happens when they close the off-ramps then? Right now, they're not, because it maybe would force it to function as a currency. Mm-hmm. But they can close the off-ramps, or they can just tax you at 95% at the off-ramp. So you're at their mercy. Because the reality is, it's a speculative asset. People aren't using it in any capacity, really, as a currency. So at least if something's tangible, you can hold it, you have more control over it.
Yeah, and control, just in the intro that I'd give for yourself, is that, you know, the governments and corporate globalist and corporatist policies are enforced that aim to control every aspect of our lives. And of course, financial regulation is one way that they're trying to do that. Another way that they're trying to do it is through freedom of speech. Now, you and I are both very fortunate this morning. We can have a free-flowing conversation. We've got a platform here in TNT. There's no censorship. You can say absolutely anything that you like. You know, we'll let you do it. Not let you do it, but we're not constricted and we're not confined by Ofcom or regulators, so you're free to speak your mind. That may not always be the case. And looking at Northern Ireland or the north of Ireland at the minute, Naomi Long, who's our so-called justice minister, you know, Stormont's back in business again for how long is anybody's guess, but she's back in as the so-called justice minister. You have Robin Swan back in as the so-called health minister. These ghouls from the lockdown years or the scandemic years are back in situ again. And Long is eyeing up a hate crime, hate speech type law, the same as Scotland have just implemented last Monday, which was April Fool's Day. That's been a complete and utter disaster, and farcical to say the least. But Long is back here and she wants to dip her toe into that water as well. Also worth noting that she supported vaccine passports, school closures, masking, kids being locked up, and every other authoritarian CCP COVID restriction forced upon us. That should be a cause for concern among those that are switched on. But the question is, how many people are switched on? And would something like that bed in Northern Ireland if it was introduced, if Long got her way and this came into force tomorrow?
Well, if you look at what has happened in Scotland, I think within 3 days there was 6,000 reports of hate. Because when you don't define what hate is, then it's open for debate in a court situation. So the idea of it for me is that you self-censor, that you don't know, am I going to cross the line with saying that? So you self-censor, and we've had sanctions on social media for where then we who were trying to get the information out were self-censoring in order to get the information out in some capacity. So when you extend that to possible fines and jail time, because that's how they do it, it's all done under punishment by fines. That was the whole lockdown. That people will start to reel it in. It's a matter of time before it evolves into economic misinformation. What was health and misinformation is evolving into economic misinformation, so that people just don't talk. The problem that they have is information. They previously had the monopoly on information through television, through radio, through newspapers. And now we are out there spreading the word, and this is creating a contagion effect that they really need to shut down. So knowing that, people need to talk to as many people as possible about what's going on.
They do, and we need to be relentless in this one as well, Melissa, because it's not a case of, you know, I know you've been speaking about this for some time now. We're trying to do it on a daily basis here. I'm trying to highlight this issue as much as I can on the platform that I have here on TNT as well, because this is a war we're in. It's not just a battle for this and a battle for that. It's a war we're in, a full-on war for our freedom and for our freedom of speech and our freedom to move or freedom to exist societally the way that we actually want to, so we can't have any let up on our part. Listen, we're up to time in this one here this morning. Time goes by so fast here. You do have an X or a Twitter profile with a very odd name at KSCUBKEE. I'm not even going to try and ask you what that even means or stands for, but do you have a website? It sounds really dodgy, actually. Do you have a website or somewhere that people can connect with what you've been saying and what you're writing or what you're all about? Or where's the best place to contact you?
I post across all social media platforms. I try to kind of keep things up to date. I also try and balance it with, you know, not always negative content, because it's only a possibility. It's not a certainty what the future holds. It is also in our hands.
Yeah. Okay. And if you search, then I think the best thing to do is search under your name, and that's Melissa Ciumei, and that's spelled C-I-U-M-M-E-I. If you search for her, there aren't too many Melissa Ciumeis out there. No doubt you'll come across some of her talking or some of her ideas and writings out there on the internet. Melissa, thank you so much for taking the time out to join us here this morning. If it hasn't been too traumatic for you, maybe we'll talk again sooner rather than later. And keep on fighting the good fight, and we'll get there in the end one way or the other. So that's Melissa Ciumei. We've got to take a little break right now and come back at the other side with Sarah Plumley beaming in from France. So don't go away. Stay tuned for more on TNT, Today's News Talk.
It's been said that when someone you love has Parkinson's, you have Parkinson's. The truth is, Parkinson's disease doesn't just affect the diagnosed. It affects everyone who supports and helps care for them. Worldwide, over 10 million people are living with Parkinson's, a neurological disease that affects movement. And with so many places to search for information, it can be difficult to know where to begin. The Parkinson's Foundation has answers. Answers for everyone in the fight. We can help you understand the disease, help you find expert care, give you tips for living a better life, share the latest research, help you find local support, and there's a free helpline you can call. Find your answers and join us in the fight against Parkinson's. To learn more, please go to parkinson.org or call 1-800-4PD-INFO. The Parkinson's Foundation. Better lives together.
Most people are unaware that bad bacteria can grow quickly in food that's stored, prepped, or cooked incorrectly, and that can lead to food poisoning. To avoid bad bacteria, always make sure your hands and cooking utensils are clean. Keep raw meat and chicken away from food that won't be cooked. Run your fridge at or below 5 degrees Celsius and use a meat thermometer to ensure your meat's being cooked to at least 75 degrees Celsius. For more tips on keeping bad bacteria at bay, visit foodsafety.asn.au.
In a secret lab, somewhere in the Western Hemisphere, the perfect human specimen has been born. He has the strength of 10 men and the wisdom of 20.
Rick Munn.
Now you listen here. He's a very naughty boy.
TNT Radio.
Now go away.
No, don't go away. Not just yet. Anyway, the best is yet to come. Listen, that should be your philosophy in life, people. If you're listening to me right now, it doesn't matter what crap you've been through. It doesn't matter what crap you're going through. If you don't believe that the best is yet to come, then you're on a downward slide into the grave and or the abyss. So you've got to have that mindset that the best is yet to come. So I'm using it to usher in my lovely next guest, the one and only Sarah J. Plumley. It's got that Donald J. Trump-esque ring to it, but she's not Donald Trump, at least I hope you're not. You're not going to pull off a latex mask and it's going to be Donald J., is it? Or is it really Sarah Plumley?
Oh, no. No, unfortunately, I'm a Sarah J. just because there's more than one Sarah Plumley. How upsetting.
Is there? I don't know.
There
I
is.
Don't know any other
I'm not even Plumleys. I'm not even the top ranked on Google. It's terrible.
Oh, well, if you search for Rick Munn, I am actually the top ranked Rick Munn in the world. There's some Salvation Army captain from Canada called Rick Munn. Somehow he's competing with me on the Google search stakes, but I'm inching ahead by the day because there aren't too many Rick Munns out there. But anyway, enough of that waffle from me. It's lovely to see you again. Lovely to connect with you again. And you know, when you come on here, it's always a little bit potluck. I usually have stuff prepared to talk to you about, and then I chuck it all out the window and I go with the flow with you. Are you prepared to do that this morning? You prepared to strap yourself in and go on that roller coaster ride again?
As always, it's the only crazy question you could ask. Locked and loaded, right? Let's do it.
Let's do it. Well, listen, here's something that's been grinding my gears over the last decade or two. And let me qualify what I'm saying here. Okay. I believe people have this thing they talk about a lot now called manifestation. All right. I'm going to manifest a better life. I'm going to manifest. And then nothing happens. Nothing happens. The manifestation doesn't work. And whilst I am a believer, I don't know about you, but I am a believer in positive mental attitude, thinking positively, writing stuff down. If you write something down, it infinitely increases the chances of it coming to pass. But once you put your pen and your piece of paper down, yeah, you got to get your ass out and get active and start doing stuff. Okay, so you have a Substack, which I thoroughly encourage people to go and check out, Sarah Plumley, substack.com. And you put a post up recently and you said your success in life will be determined by your ability to speak, your ability to write, the quality of your ideas in that order. Okay, and then you wrote, this was from Patrick Henry Winston. It's an unpopular message because most people don't want to have to work hard. They'd rather believe in the myth of talent than the power of practice. And this is something I think people are really dropping the ball on, sir. They're missing out on the fact that once you have that idea, once you write it down on that piece of paper, once you start to visualize it every day in that little head of yours, you actually have to go out and be proactive and bust your ass to make it happen. Where's the link been broken along this chain?
The bigger part of it is getting up off your backside and working really excessively, exceptionally hard, because everybody's got talent. Everybody is talented at something. Some people are multi-talented. So what? So what? If you don't have the knowledge, imagine a huge K. And if you don't put the practice in, imagine a somewhat smaller P, then your little tiny pathetic piece of talent that everyone's got in something anyway is irrelevant. I've seen people blow talent to the extent where they could have kept wicket for England in cricket. Mm-hmm. That might not be a big deal to you guys, but it's a big deal to me. And there'll be some Aussies out there who know what a big deal keeping wicket for your country is, especially in something like a test match series. I've seen people waste it. I've seen people waste such talent that they could have gone all of the way, had a professional career, even as a female in that game, and have just blown it up the wall. Why? Because they're lazy, they're conceited, they're arrogant, they're complacent. And yeah, no, the annoying thing about people like you and I, we sometimes get accused of being elitist. Mm. But anybody can be elite. It's 10,000 hours of practice, dedicated, hard practice. There's nothing special about that. There's a wonderful book by Matthew Syed. He's the ping pong guy, if anybody still listens to Radio 4. I know they don't because they've turned it off and they've tuned in here now. But anyway, a guy called Matthew Syed used to be on Radio 4, the ping pong guy. He wrote a great book called Bounce. And the subheading is The Myth of Talent and the Power of Practice. And that's it. Talent is like this. Practice and knowledge like this. We need to read and we need to work hard. And that's it. That's the secret. It's not some, you don't need to vision harder. You just need to get off your backside and do. And the more you do, the more you realize how inadequate you are, myself 100% included. And then you start to iterate and refine, just like any good engineer would. And then you come out with something that's halfway presentable and decent for other to help other people. And that's how you kick on. This whole thing about, I imagine this, manifestation, what a great word. I was just talking to my husband earlier about this exact thing. We were talking about visioning, but manifestation is the same thing. And we were saying that, hey, what's going on here? This isn't enough. This is just leading people down a nonsense pathway that's actually not leading to any meaningful action. And the proof is in the pudding. You have to actually bake the cake before you can assess it. Otherwise, it's just an idea, right?
Yeah. And everything starts as an idea. Listen, I'm not knocking that. And you can have any idea, you know, anything that you believe and put your mind to, I believe you can achieve it because we've all got the same body pretty much. You know, we've all got two eyes. We've all got some kind of a brain between our ears. We've all got a functioning body. So, for example, if you do something, right? And I'm thinking, my God, how did she ever do that? It didn't just happen. You put a lot of time and practice into it. So you told me once before that you were second Dan in Taekwondo. It's like, wow, she could kick the head clean off me, right? But you didn't get that. Yeah, you didn't get that overnight. You had to start off someday going, you know what? I would like to start doing this martial art. Then you had to find yourself a class. Then you had to buy a gi. Then you had to start doing your greetings and you had to go to practice and you had to be assessed and you had to do it year after year after year. So I'm not knocking the fact that you've accomplished that, But if I wanted to do that starting today, I'd have to start from scratch and put a lot of time and effort into it. I can manifest it all I like in my head, but if I don't buy a gi and I don't join a class and I don't get graded, then I'm never going to get a black belt. And listening to you talking, I think in these days, it's so hard to find people in the real world that you can actually look up to and respect. There's the old school people, I call them. And I used to work for an insurance company. My first proper job, I was an insurance salesman. And I was really good at selling insurance to people. I was really good at it. Really, really good at it.
I can imagine.
People from their money. Really good at it. But I had an old sales manager and he was amazing. His name was Jim Gault. And I learned so much from Jim Gault and I respected Jim Gault immensely. So if he told me something or he criticized me, I took it on board because he knew what the hell he was talking about and he practiced what he preached. And he sat me down one day and he said, listen, you have a natural ability to do this, this, and this. You're going to do very well. He says, but don't kid yourself. He said, it's not about being good or talented or able. It's about being there. And what he meant by that was I had a certain amount of sales calls I had to do in a week. Now, I was doing the business I needed by only doing half as many sales calls as somebody else because they were having to do, right? But he stopped me in my tracks and he said, listen, it's not about being good. It's about being there. He said, so you're going to get overtaken. Young man, he called me because I was in my 20s at the time. He said, young man, you're going to get overtaken by people that aren't as good as you, but they're there. They're out working, they're grafting, they're seeing more people than you, they're throwing more mud at the wall than you, and you're going to get overtaken. And if you get overtaken, you're going to be out of a job because it's all about numbers. So that jolted me. That jolted me and gave me a wake-up call. It's not enough to coast by on ability in a certain field. You have to actually be proactive and bust your ass too. Otherwise, you could find yourself out of a job or destitute. And I think that's where a lot of people are at the minute.
Who wants to be average? Like if you'd carry, just because you were better than everybody else, right? So you were selling more off less calls. Yeah, but imagine how much you could be selling off if you were doing the same average calls as everyone else. You'd be exceptional. Why wouldn't you want to be that? It's funny you talk about the black belts and all of that malarkey from martial arts. I actually started with a really dodgy martial arts club who weren't who they said they were. Like I was told that they were, they were a Taekwondo club and you could go all the way to the world championships if you wanted, yada, yada. It wasn't true at all. It wasn't true. It was only when the 2012 Olympics came on the television or the television and I was watching the Taekwondo and I was looking at it and my head started to do this. What is that? Because it wasn't anything like what we were learning. We were doing something more like kickboxing. I came to the realization. I'd gotten all the way to one away from my black belt grading in a completely fake martial art. There was neither kickboxing nor taekwondo because I hadn't gone to the right person. I hadn't gone to the person like that gentleman you talked about, whom you respected, the person with the real skills, the real knowledge, somebody who wanted to develop others for the right reasons, not for the wrong ones, the money ones. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I had to start again. When I found out, I made some phone calls, realized I wasn't with a nationally recognized or even internationally recognized organization, had to start again from white belt. That was a lot of work. It took me a long time to get to deputy black belt in a fake martial art. A lot of money, a lot of exercise, a lot of effort. And I had to begin again. Luckily, the odd skill was transferable. So I didn't take as long as some others. It took me 3 years instead of 3 to 5 to get my first black belt in a real martial art. But it's a massive learning curve because I wasn't with the honest people, the true people, the people with the massive K, the huge knowledge. Yeah. Find the coaches and the teachers with the knowledge, then put the practice in. The talent, not so important.
There's another lesson in this too. This is a real tour de force of life lessons we're going through here this morning, but choose your sensei wisely, I think should be another one. Just don't imagine because they've got the gi on and they've got a black belt on that they are qualified or they do have the adequate credentials. And in a way, that's your fault. So you picked up you had to pick up the mess from that. It was on you, but I would dare say that was a hard lesson to learn, but one that you wouldn't necessarily repeat. And again, mistakes. There's no problem with making mistakes. No one has made more mistakes in life than me, and no one continues to screw up more than me. But I do learn every time, so I am refining myself. So mistakes aren't a bad thing, but not learning from them is just idiocy.
I've learned nothing from winning, Mr. Mann. Nothing at all. Mm. I love winning. Like I love winning perhaps to a slightly unhealthy degree. I have a huge trophy cabinet in the room behind me. And when I get really big headed, I show the people I'm training all the things I've won and the medals I've got and all this stuff. But I tell them, yeah, that's the tiny bit. That's the 10%. That's the winning. The 90% losing, you can't see because you don't get medals for that. You either win or you learn. So losing is actually learning. And in actual fact, since the neurologists got access to better technology, they've realized that in a subject like mathematics, for example, when you make a mistake, the synapses in your brain fire. When you get something right, nothing happens. So actually, we only grow, the brain only grows and develops when we make mistakes, when we fail, when we err. And I think that's true of pretty much every subject. I don't think this is exclusive to mathematics and sport.
You have to add something else in there, by the way. You said you win or you learn, but there's also a third option. You can cheat. Okay, so I am a very competitive person as well. And I'm not going to lie. If someone's getting the better of me, I would not rule out ruling the good old-fashioned cheating just to get the dub, as they say. There was a guy I used to be super competitive with. His name was Pete, and he played guitar. I started playing. We were fighting amongst the guitar. When we got married, I remember me and my wife went to his house one night. We ended up playing Monopoly until 3 o'clock in the morning. It was just me and him fighting against each other on the Monopoly board. And as I drove away from his house, I wound down my window and screamed loser at him at the top of my voice just to rub it in because I won. But there was a time he did get the better of me. He saw an opportunity. There was a kids' night one night, and he set up a PlayStation FIFA football game, and he knew I didn't play it. And he said, come on, Rick, man, let's have a game. And I'm like, Pete, I'm not really very good at this game. And he knew that. He thought, I'm going to humiliate Mon in public here. So we were sitting on a big sofa. There was about 50 kids in there. So there was 6 kids between me and him on the sofa. And the little kid beside me, his name was Charlie Banks. He was an absolute maestro at this game. So I slipped Charlie Banks my controller, and it was him that played against Pete Quay. And he beat him. Then I grabbed the controller back off him again, sir. And I'm not going to lie, I jumped up and down, and I called him for all the losers of the day. And I actually had to phone him the next day and apologize. He said, Pete, I have to confess, that was actually not me that beat you. And he never spoke again after that. So competition's not a bad thing, but it can get a little bit unhealthy. So don't let it ruin you like it ruined me.
Well, when you cheat, you only ever really cheat yourself. And in the moment, you can pretend you're, you know, cheating someone else. But actually, only ever really cheats you because you don't develop and you don't improve. And if it's FIFA soccer on the computer, I don't really care. It's not my bag. I'm not interested in that. I don't think you can help other people. I don't think you can have individual success and serve other people doing something like that, computer games. However, cheating, it only ever really cheats the self. And it is, we've all done it. But I think the best lesson is where you genuinely invest in something, you work extremely hard at it, and you'll naturally fail at things. And failure is the best teacher. I really believe that.
I believe so too. And, you know, before we're nearly up to time here. I can't believe how quick the time has gone by. There's a list of things I wanted to ask you about. But what I will say is, listen, if you haven't already done so, Sarah, for any of you that haven't heard her speaking before, she's been coming on Locked and Loaded now for about 2 years. She's the head teacher of Guerrilla Education, and that's Guerrilla Education. You can check her out on Substack, Sarah Plumley, .substack.com. And in fact, I want to liken this back to the your martial arts experience. You got hooked up with a dodgy teacher, and all that effort and time was for nothing. There are a lot of people at the minute who are thinking about pulling their kids out of school, rightly so. And I did it myself. And thankfully, I had some guidance and direction from you. I can testify you are legit. Your program, if parents decide to do that, Sarah, because of what's happening at the minute, indoctrination, not education, it's also possible that they could fall prey to some predators out there on the alternate education, home education front. How important is it to link in with someone credible in that respect? And why should they go to you? Why you?
Well, I wouldn't pick me. I wouldn't. I would go and do your research, because if you do your research properly, then you'll make the right decision. And I know that probably sounds supremely arrogant rather than supremely humble, but it's the same thing. I know that sounds bizarre. If you genuinely go and look at what's out there for you and your children, you will know, you will instinctively know who and what is the right thing to do. I suggest you then read and read and read some more, because then you might decide, oh, my initial instinct was a little off. But I don't think you can go wrong. If you continue to read, please just read, read, read. You will understand it. I empathize with anybody wanting to pull their children out of the state indoctrination centers. Of course you should. It's a terrible, terrible thing. If you possibly can, do it. Whether you work with me or not, I don't care. But do it, and do it properly. Do the right thing for the children. Hardcore academics, English and mathematics, everything else will stem from that. If you can read, you can find out that your martial arts instructor's dodgy and you need a new one.
Yeah, you need a new one ASAP. And you know what, actually, on a parting, because the music's going to start playing here as well, I had a guest on earlier on, I think would be, you do a Plumley pod as well on your Substack, sarahplumley.substack.com. You talked to some fantastic people. You've had John Waters on there recently. You had Bob Moran on there recently. I had a guest on earlier. I think you would love to talk to her. Her name is Joanna Britton. She's a former boarding school girl, talks out very much against boarding school, mental health, psychological conditions that happen from boarding, etc. If you don't know her, I think she would be someone good for you to talk to, because she's got quite a story to tell in terms of boarding and the educational system that she went through. But anyway, that's as an aside. Sarah, massive thanks to you. Love to talk to you, love to see you, and hopefully we'll do it again sooner rather than later. Check out her Substack, sarahplumley.substack.com. I got to get off now and make room for someone else coming in. So I'll be back in the morning, cough permitting, at 11 a.m. TNT. Don't go away.